Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Amen. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. Father, as we are gathered, we think of these that are unable to be here. Our dear little ladies that are unable to get out, that you would just be with them. Father, our nation tonight is in a terrible condition.
Yes.
Father, we realize the only real medicine is your word and
Amen.
Salvation in our country.
Amen.
Father, we think of those in Afghanistan now, mm-hmm. our soldiers,
yes.
those Americans that are there that need your help tonight. We mm-hmm. ask that you would intervene.
Yes.
We think of those down south and the storm coming in, and mm-hmm. you would, Father, open many eyes.
Yes.
They would see that you're trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we just pray for a great awakening in our
yes.
be a pastor tonight as he preaches. Give him the power that would speak to our hearts. And Father, we just ask that you would guide and direct him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Well, we started looking at this passage this morning, and we see it was fulfilled in the Lord in his ministry. And he read this passage in Nazareth there. And so we looked, number one, this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God wants good tidings preached unto the meek. Number two, tonight, the Spirit of the Lord God wants binding up for the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord God wants binding up for the brokenhearted. Verse 1, the second part of it, said there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, it's a challenge, the sign out in front of the church, because you have people driving by with all different kinds of needs. One person may be driving by the church drinking a beer, headed for an adulterous rendezvous somewhere. So you need a certain message, that because that person is hard-hearted in sin. But the next person that drives by might be someone who had a son just killed in Afghanistan. I just read about a 20-year-old young man killed in Afghanistan whose wife is like 2 weeks out from delivering a baby. And so you could have a person driving, you could have one guy hardened in his sin and the next person driving by that's totally brokenhearted. I've often thought about those computer-generated signs, those digital signs. And I know they're extremely expensive. But on one of those, you could have a verse for 3 seconds that would hit the man hardened in his sin, and the next verse could be comforting someone that's mourning, binding up the brokenhearted. part of the problem with the signs, they're extremely expensive, and the other part is most of the parts are made in China. And I've watched so many of those signs, they put them out there, and then an LED panel will go bad, and they'll stick with that for quite a while, and some just shut their sign right down because they're so expensive to buy and they don't last very long. But I've often thought, that's what makes it a challenge to know what to put on the sign, because you have all kinds of different situations. Every person that goes by has a different need. And notice in Hebrews chapter 13, the guy who's drinking his beer and headed for an adulterous rendezvous needs to hear about his sin in Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, what? God will judge. But that next person that's come by brokenhearted, notice in Psalm 34:18. You know, in Jesus, as he dealt with people, obviously he knew all about them. But the woman taken in adultery, her heart was broken. And so he didn't have to, as it were, beat her over the head with Scripture. She already knew she was condemned. And so he said he didn't condemn her. Go and sin no more. Every heart is different. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are what? Of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of what?
Contrite spirit.
We looked at that this morning, contrite, crushed, broken spirit. Notice in Psalm 147, there are so many people in this world with broken hearts. Psalm 147:3, the Bible says, speaking of God, he healeth the what? The broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. You may have a broken heart tonight over something that maybe no one knows about, or maybe few people know about. You may be heartbroken over something. The next person that drives by may have just worked two shifts in a row. He's tired. Notice in Matthew 11, it'd be nice for him to see this verse on his way home. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Oh, that guy headed from work, home from work, that is so tired. What a refreshing verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Scripture, just such a comfort. The next person driving by might be an atheist, like downtown at Danish Festival. I was witnessing to the shop owners and other people, but one of the shop owners, it was a husband and wife team, and I asked him a question, and he didn't know, so he referred to his wife. And so I tried to talk to her, give her a gospel tract, and she wouldn't take it. She said, I'm an atheist. So the next person that drives by may be wondering, let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. They may be thinking, how can there be a God and let this or that happen? Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his what?
Handiwork.
Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Just recently, my wife and I were traveling somewhere, and I said, look at that scene. Isn't it pretty? And it was kind of the southwest, I believe. And there were some really dark clouds, like black with rain. Behind those was white clouds, and behind that was a blue sky. What a beautiful scene, and not necessarily the thunder clouds headed for somebody, but it was just so beautiful how the Lord painted that picture there in the sky. And so for the person wondering if there's a God, have the scripture pop out at him. Yes, there is. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament shows his handiwork, whether it's day or night. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Another person might be coming by and has maybe gotten bits and pieces of the gospel in his or her life, but just wondering, how do I find God? How do I find eternal life? It'd be nice to have John 5:39 up there. John 5:39. They're wondering, how do I find out? Where do I go to find out the truth? Is there eternal life? Is it possible to know? John 5:39. The Bible says what? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's talking to the Jews. He's saying to the Jews, you think you have eternal life, you can find that in the scriptures, and you can find it there, and they testify of me, Jesus said. So search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So search. I'll look at chapter 14, John 14. So these verses showing up on a sign, just I can just imagine the different people coming by with all different needs. And John 14:6. Just imagine a person seeking and suddenly they see this verse on a sign. Jesus saith unto him, what?
I am the way,
the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's the answer for him. How can I have eternal life? Search the scriptures. What's it going to tell me? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him. So the Spirit of the Lord God wants us to preach to the meek, good tidings to the meek. In that number two, we're looking at wants to bind up the brokenhearted. How does God fix a broken heart? How can we be tools in God's hands to show them how they can have a broken heart fixed? No doctor can do it. A doctor might be able to work on the physical heart, but a doctor can't work on a broken heart. A doctor can't help that. What can we do? How can God work through us? Well, we can show true, genuine love. 1 John 4, true, genuine love. You know, many times when people have a broken heart, it's because someone has proven to not be loving to them in some fashion. In 1 John 4, verse 18, 1 John 4 and verse 18, the Bible says there is what?
No fear in love,
but perfect love does what? Casteth out fear. Because fear hath what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because why? He first loved us. There's so many people in torment. I mean, inner turmoil and torment. They have broken hearts because there's some human relationship that's failed. And so they have broken hearts. They don't want to trust anybody in their lives because they don't want another broken heart. So they isolate themselves. And God is telling us here that that's a life of torment. Verse 18 again. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. People with a broken heart and are afraid to get close to anyone ever again, their lives are torment. The Bible tells us here, fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so what can we do to help people with a broken heart? How can the Spirit of God help us to help them? Point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus to put their heart upon him, because verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. You know, it's such a blessing in life to learn this, that God loves us. You know, the The Islam, the Muslim God, which is a false God, is not a God of love. Muslims don't know anything about love. They only know about fear. That's all they know. They do not know a God that loves them. But Jesus is different. We love him because he first loved us. There was a man downtown, a Muslim man, and from Senegal. And in their country, they speak French. And so I talked to him about Brother Needham there in Cameroon. And so just pray for this man. I don't recall his first name. But pray for this Muslim man that he would come to Christ. We love him, verse 19, Christ, because he first loved us. Notice in Romans chapter 5, we're talking about how the Spirit of God could help us to help people with broken hearts. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth what? His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he didn't beat us over the head. That's what we deserved. We deserved worse than that. We deserved to just be cast into hell. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, how does God fix a broken heart? He shows the person a true, genuine love. A true, genuine love. Number two, he shows the person that love has to have priorities. Love has to have priorities. Notice in Matthew 6, that's what God is trying to teach people, so that's what we should be trying to teach them. Listen, your heart is broken. You need to have priorities in your love. Priorities in your heart. Matthew 6:24. No man can what?
Serve two masters.
For either he will hate the one and what?
Love the other.
Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the way to get over a broken heart is to get our hearts fixed upon God. Notice there in verse 19, Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where what? Your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So when people have a broken heart because someone let them down, God, the Lord is trying to show them the reason you have a broken heart right now is because your heart was in the wrong place. It didn't have me as the priority. That's the point. The way to get over a broken heart is to get our hearts fixed upon someone that does not change, that does not move, that does not die, that does not perish. Only God fits that. Notice in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And verse 5. Deuteronomy 6:5. The Bible says, and thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with what? All thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. A broken heart is a result of not having our hearts fixed upon him. Notice also in Psalm 73 and verse 25. Psalm 73:25. The psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but what?
Thee.
But thee. And there is what?
None
upon earth that I what?
Desire
beside what?
Thee.
Now, when you first read that verse, you might think, what is it? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You think of telling that to your husband and or wife. Whom have I in heaven but thee, God? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, desire beside God. You might think, well, that's not a loving way to have That's not the way to have a loving marriage. Well, that it may sound like that. And, you know, for children, little children normally love their parents, and hopefully big children do too. Sometimes not always so, but how would it sound for a little child to say, "Whom have I in heaven but God? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside him." You may say, "Well, what kind of a relationship is that?" And can you imagine a parent telling a little child, you know, "Whom have I in heaven but God? And whom I don't desire anyone upon earth except God." You may say, "Are you sure that's going to work? That kind of relationship?" Well, the fact is this. Our earthly love, for the most part, is just selfish. It's just selfish. And that's why so many times the people we love, we irritate. Why? Because of our selfishness. It's a very selfish motivated love. Because when someone doesn't satisfy our earthly desires, our flesh wants to turn off the love. We have a toaster. Our other toaster had problems, so we got a different toaster. And so different people like their toast on different settings. And so you have to make sure before you put your toast in and push it down that you've got it on the right setting, or it might come out hardly toasted, or it might come out really black, really dark. And our love is so much like a toaster. If someone doesn't do like we want done, or doesn't do as we ask, then what do? We turn off the love. Well, if that's the way you're going to treat me, just see what you get back. That is so much like our earthly love. It is so selfish. So when we truly do love God first and foremost, you will find that it does not hurt our love between each other. It helps it, because what it does is turns off the selfishness, which is so much a part of our earthly affection. Notice in Leviticus 19, so when someone truly is putting God first, it is never, ever going to hurt an earthly relationship, ever. It's only going to make it stronger, because it's our selfishness that kills the first love. Why is it when a couple is newly engaged, they are falling all over one another to please one another? Then why does that change often as when marriage comes and the years pass by? It's selfishness, just pure and simple. It's selfishness that kills that first love. Because the first love is a selfless love. It'll do anything. You'll go anywhere to please the other person. And it's all about pleasing the other person. In Leviticus 19:18, it says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor what?
Bear any grudge
against the children of thy people," including those in your own home. "But thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as who?
Thyself.
I am the Lord." This is what it does. When our love is focused on the Lord, first and foremost, when love for him comes before anyone else, you may think that's going to hurt all my relationships. No, it's going to help, because the next command after loving God with all of our hearts is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that just wipes out all the selfishness. So a warm, hot love for God is always going to help every other relationship. Notice in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. If someone says that they love God and then it hurts the relationship, they're only kidding themselves because they still have that selfishness going. Ephesians 4:26. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not what? The sun go down upon what? Your wrath." No. Why does the sun go down upon people's wrath? Because they're mad. They're mad at their husband, mad at their wife, mad at their children, mad at their parents, mad at the government, mad at some other country. It's all self-motivated. So they hold a grudge. They go to sleep. They let the sun go down upon their wrath. So, but when we truly put God first, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So the peace that comes and is a peace that passes all understanding. Notice in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, there are times when it seems like trouble is surrounding us, but there's just a peace that passes all understanding. And only God can give that. In Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? The peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding. Shall keep what? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So they'll keep our heart. We're talking about how does the Spirit of God heal a broken heart? Point him to Jesus Christ. He first loved. And pointing them to that they must focus their love and their hearts upon the Lord. It will help every other relationship. Every other relationship. When our hearts are set upon God and when we're pleasing God, that will carry us through all these other troubles. Notice in Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says, husbands, what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. You know what? When we do that, if we do that, it kills the selfishness part of our relationship. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. God commands us, husbands, to do the same for our wives. Look in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know, the world would have us believe that the cause of many problems is a low self-esteem. That people really don't love themselves. Well, that's the opposite of the truth. Everybody loves themselves. It tells us right here, verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So what gives a man peace? That's in a relationship where his wife is unloving. What will give that man peace is if his love is focused upon Christ with all of his heart. That'll cure that relationship with his wife. But what if it's the opposite? What if it's a woman, a wife, with a husband that's just cantankerous to live with? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The answer is the same. It's to get her heart focused first and foremost on the Lord. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be what? the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is what? In the sight of God, what? Of great price. See, it's the same thing. So she's living with this cantankerous, Nabal-type guy, rude, brash, mean husband. What will get her through? Having her heart focused upon God. Because then she knows, verse 4, in the sight of God, she is of great price. That's gonna heal her broken heart. That's going to give her a peace that passes all understanding. So whatever relationship it is. So if you're in any type of situation where you're being treated very poorly, it might be at work. It might be your boss at work that treats you very poorly, or some other employee there that treats you very, very poorly. It might be dealing with other people in stores. I've told you about the post office before, how the Lord can transform that. Just tell them, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You see, that's what God tells us to do to our enemies. You see, when we love God supremely and do what he says, he'll make even our enemies to be at peace with us. He can do that. He alone. So, when we're in a situation where we're being treated very poorly, we need to quit thinking in our heart this. This person is not being nice to me. This person is going to be taught a lesson. This person is going to find out I can play the same way. Right back. You got to quit thinking that way and start thinking this. If it was Jesus who had asked me to do this, would I do it? If Jesus owned this company, would I let this thing slide? I'm tired, not being paid really all that great. My boss treats me rotten. Hey, I know this is inferior quality work, and maybe it's going to give problems down the road to somebody, but who cares? It's not my company, and they really don't treat me right anyway. You see, if we'd ask the question, not look at the person who owns the company or the employees, but ask the question, if Jesus owned this company, would I correct that problem? Of course I would. There's no doubt about it. Of course I would. If you see something around the house that needs to be picked up or done, it's not like, oh, so-and-so is being lazy again, or that's somebody else's job, or this or that. We need to quit looking at people and think, if Jesus owned this house, would I pick that up? Of course I would pick that up. That's the question. Because this, who are we to love with all of our heart? God, the Lord. We are to love the Lord with all of our heart. And we are to love our neighbor as what? Ourselves. So that settles it. A true love for God that puts him first never hinders or lessens our love for other people. It only finally makes our love genuine and true and unselfish. So the way to get over a broken heart, the Spirit of God, let's go back to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How do we do that? How do we do it? We've got to get them to focus their eyes on God, that he loved them first. And then we need to get them focused on obeying the Lord. A love for him, a pure, genuine love for him, is always going to help our other relationships. And if our heart is focused on him, our love for him, then our heart's not going to be broken by people. Because all people, including us, are prone to failure. And if our hearts are upon other people, yes, we'll have many broken hearts. So let's look at Mark chapter 12, and just kind of summarize this, how God wants us to help people with broken hearts. And Mark 12 and verse 30. Mark 12, 30. And thou shalt love who?
The Lord thy God
with what? All thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We've got to love him with our hearts, our minds. We can't let our minds say, but they're not being fair to me. We've got to focus on loving God. Verse 31 and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love who? Thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And what will we find when our hearts are focused on the Lord? In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly what? In heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's where that fixing of our broken hearts come. When we get in the yoke with Jesus, and we find that he's meek and lowly in heart. In other words, he does not think of himself. He thinks of us. And that's why verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he's the one carrying the brunt of the load. And what we'll find then, if our heart will be focused on him and obeying him, then we'll find Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 4 will be true. Psalm 37, 4. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. Our hearts, though, have to be focused on him first and foremost before that is going to come to pass. And then it will come to pass. The last verse of Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 23. So, the cars drive by. People with all kinds of problems, all kinds of different problems. But God has the answer. Proverbs 4:23. Keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues of life. Life goes so fast. It goes by so fast. The years go by. We need to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And who is to have our hearts first and foremost? God. And then what are we supposed to do? Love our neighbor as ourselves. That takes away the selfishness. And we are selfish to our core. All of our relationships are, one fashion or another, are so often selfish motivated. And we need to keep our hearts with all diligence focused on the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us now, this second thing, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the brokenhearted. And Lord, we know there are a lot of people in this world that are brokenhearted because someone has let them down or someone has died. And they feel heartbroken. And Father, I pray you would help us. May our hearts be upon you first and foremost. And we know if they are in truth, that it will take that selfishness out of all of our relationships. That rotten selfishness which ruins everything that it touches. Ruins the first love, ruins the joy. And so, Father, help us to learn this lesson and help us to be able to help others by the Spirit of God with broken hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to 366.